Are you ready for a kick in the aspirations? Welcome to the podcast that brings you cutting-edge sales and business insight, along with a healthy dose of inspiration and a few laughs. Now, here's your host, Rob Liano.
Hey, it's Rob Liano, and welcome to A Kick in the Aspirations. You know, the more I do these podcasts, the more I realize that sales and motivation are fully intertwined. But this episode is literally the intersection of sales and motivation, because everything can be applied to life, to sales, to business, and insight into success and how to improve your life. My guest is dropping bombs about how to resolve conflict, what holds you back and how you can overcome it, finding your seat at the table, how to communicate better, realizing that you are what matters, how to go from being amazed to being amazing, and what being fit, F-I-T, means, and how it can change your life. She's called the Reconnection Strategist. She is a leadership training and development expert, a national speaker, and an executive and strategy coach. And I am super excited to have a strong, beautiful, anointed woman joining me today, because the world needs more of those to come in and take charge and do what you got to do. Dr. Katina Fuller Scott, how are you, girlfriend?
First of all, I just love the introduction. I love that you put anointed in there, because you have to be anointed to do what we do. So
amen.
I'm excited. I'm glad to be here. Thank you so much for the invitation, and I am ready to rock and roll.
Oh, and that's me, because you know I'm the rock star sales trainer. So this is great. I love it. So it's very interesting. Every time I do sales and motivation.
Yeah.
And when I'm designing the questions I want to ask, even when I think the entire episode is going to be based on motivation, I always see ways it relates to sales as a career and industry. So I'm really excited to, see your aspect of things and how, when the salespeople that do take the time to listen to the motivational ones, mm-hmm. what they can get out of it. So I love to start and just set it off with a very different question that no one expects, and I can't wait to hear your answer. What is your favorite band or artist, and why?
Okay, so, and this is crazy because I am a church girl, right? I grew up in church, and I'm very much Pentecostal and strict, you know, I grew up in that way, right?
Yep.
But I love DJ Khaled's All I Do Is Win, Win, Win.
Yes! Nice! That's a great theme song.
All I Do Is Win. And so I love that song because it really speaks to, really it backs it up in the word of God in terms of he causes us to triumph. So at least that's how I spin it for those who don't understand all the time.
I love it. I love it. And that's why I asked that question, because it's funny. And I mentioned this on one of the other podcasts. It always relates directly to the person and what they do that I'm talking to. And that you totally mm-hmm. just nailed it. All right, cool. So let's talk about this. I want you to explain what Be What Matters is and does, and how that started.
Oh, wow. So first of all, I have to say that I'm always amazed of how I got to this point of even talking about Be What Matters, because I started this journey as a wanting to go into accounting. And I told the story that I've always wanted to be an accountant in high school. You know, I was great with strategy and problem solving and so forth. And so I attacked that in college, and soon found out in that first year when I couldn't pass accounting 101, two semesters in a row, and my advisor told me I was spinning my wheels. And so, believe it or not, I was asked to teach Sunday school and quickly fell in love. Yes, Sunday school of all things, because I never wanted to be an educator. I was a hellion in school. So that was not my aspiration.
I'm just being honest.
but quickly fell in love with giving information, delivering information, and helping people grow and develop. And so from that, I pursued education, got into looking at teaching young people. And for about 3 years, I was doing well, but I started seeing some disconnections. And the disconnections were a lot of times in leadership. right? I started noticing these organizational challenges, and I knew where I was in my position that I could not affect change. And so I went back to school for educational policy and leadership, was promoted to assistant administrator and then principal, and then earned my PhD in leadership, all to be changed, to be the solution and lead the organization in this great transformation. And so Be What Matters really evolved from my understanding that we get caught up in finding and doing what we believe matters, right? Yeah. But we disconnect a lot of times from being the best of who we are in what we do. And so I feel that people, especially leaders, particularly leaders, for us to see the transformation that we hope to see, because we have resources, we have great talent, you know, but why aren't we seeing the transformation in our communities? And I believe Be What Matters is what is needed to make that happen.
Amen to that. I love it because, you know, an idea and success don't make you a leader. I mean, we see proof of that all the time. You know, you see like the CEO is getting kicked out of their own company because they don't know how to run a business and they're not an actual leader, only by title. And, you know, I think there's a book that says a title doesn't make you a leader or something like that. Sanborn, I think it was Mark Sanborn. I got to meet him one time. He'll hit me in the head if he hears this. I don't know the name of the book, but it's something about that. And yeah, it's so true because, you know, especially starting where you are and making that impact of either where you are or where you came from.
That's just
so important. Wow. I love it. Okay. Oh yeah. Cool. So here's what's going to be interesting. And I get a really great diversity of guests and, you know, women in sales in particular are usually better salespeople because they're nurturers, right? You guys give birth. Mm-hmm. You just have this nurturing quality. Like you guys can strike a conversation with each other in a bathroom where men don't want to talk to anyone in the bathroom, right? So you just have that natural ability and you listen, right? And you hear, you know, men hear differently than women. So you hear what's being said sometimes when it's not necessarily being stated that way, right? Sure. So I want to talk to you about women's empowerment, because I know that's something important to you. How do you feel women can just, you know, take over and be that lioness or, you know, be what matters, if I may? I mean, if you could speak on that, I would love to hear it.
Well, guess what? I really think, Rob, that a lot of times we innately have that lioness nature, but we've been taught by society, in our homes, to be seen and not heard. And so the women's empowerment really comes in first, you owning the fact that you have a voice and that what you do and who you are matters, right? And so you utilizing that, really stepping fully into your purpose and unapologetically walking it out to dominate the lanes you're supposed to dominate. And I think with women's empowerment, for sure, it's not necessarily saying that there is no need for men because we love men. Okay. Nice. But it's understanding that we bring a certain power that only we can bring to a situation. And for me, it's been about tapping into that mindfulness and that authentic space and that courageous space to do it in a way that makes sense for me and that transforms the world. So
I love that, man. Be authentic and be courageous. I mean, that's what the world needs. That's what the world expects from you. I mean, that's just because, you know, you are put here for such a great purpose and, you know, and it can be frightening when you discover that purpose. It was for me when I realized I could impact people and I felt like, wow, but should I really do this? Do I know enough, you know? And one of the turning points for me was I was pacing in the back where the first time I ever spoke on sales, I was listening to other speakers, pacing in the back, writing down notes, and I was a wreck. It was bad. And I put my notes down and then realized I don't have them when it's my turn to speak. Ooh. And I'm like, and I wung it. But thankfully, I knew enough at the time to just go off of things that were said. And I remember walking out and calling my mom, you know, because that's like, that's what you do when you're an Italian boy from New York, right? And you're not married. And I said, I'm really good at this. And for me, that was big because I was bullied a little bit. I wore glasses. I was a really scrawny kid. Not to the extent of other people, but it impacted me and my self-esteem.
Yeah.
And so walking in faith, right, and the passion and talent that you have, it can be challenging. So I really appreciate that you brought that up about just, you know, be courageous, because it does take courage, because, you know, people will put you down. They put their stuff on you. And it took me a long time to realize that's your junk, man. It doesn't have anything to do with me.
And it became
very, it became very freeing, because I don't care what you think. Unless I'm doing something illegal, immoral, or unethical, you don't pay my bills, you don't get a say. That's how it is, right? Cool, man. So that's great. So I'm going to make sure that women promote this particular podcast, because, you know, it should be a movement. And it already is to an extent, but you nailed it. Like that whole barefoot and pregnant, it should not exist today. I mean, women do amazing things. CEOs, like there, I mean, even going back years that where, you know, you don't realize, like, I forgot who it was, an actress like created something with the internet or something. Like there's amazing things that are coming thanks to the internet and memes that are actually real memes instead of misleading fake ones, but the real ones that should make you go, wow. And that should inspire everyone, not just women, absolutely, but everyone.
Think about it. Our norms have changed, right? The norms have changed. We have the first vice president who's a woman.
Amazing. And of color.
And of color.
I know that upsets some people, meaning party-wise, but it should still not take away from the significance, because it doesn't matter who you support, because you win sometimes, you lose sometimes. Every four years, it could be something different. So deal with that. That's fine. And I'm cool. I mean, I understand and I sympathize. I posted on Facebook, whether you won or lost, just be empathetic and compassionate and understanding, because people are hurting and other people are, you know, you don't have to rub it in people's face. Like, that means you got some stuff you need to deal with.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
If you can't support, if you can't move on as a rational adult human being, you probably got to work on some stuff, and that's okay. I get it, because I've been there too, and I'm not completely past it. I'm not better than anyone, but I think you just need to be okay. I'm going to, whatever they do, you know, my dad taught me, he goes, it doesn't matter who the president is, just, they make the rules, whatever happens, adapt to it. You know, if taxes raise, okay, make more money. Like, that's stuff you would say. You need to go ahead.
I was just thinking about something, Rob, is that while, you know, Vice President Kamala Harris is such a great representation for women and women of color, I'm always thinking about how are we representing in our neighborhoods, right? In the communities where we live, in our homes, in our churches, in our communities at large, because that truly, while people are looking on to her as a representative, for sure, the greatest power, I believe, is what we do in our daily lives. And so that's the true embodiment of women's empowerment. How are you showing up every day in what you do and not necessarily staying amazed at other people, but being amazing, right?
So yes. Oh my gosh, I love that. That is so boom. We need a boom sound. I'm going to have to insert that.
Boom!
When I do that, boom. That was a knowledge bomb for sure. All right, cool. So let's get to something else other than just being courageous and totally accept yourself. What do you think is one thing that really holds people back, and how can they overcome it?
I'm going to be honest with you. I think the greatest injustice we do to ourselves is not fully embracing who we are. It has to go back to authenticity, because until you have a mindset that embraces the brilliance of you, it's hard to do anything in the world that makes a difference, because you're always having mind talk. You already have to deal with mind talk anyway, this is the nature. But when you haven't fully embraced that I am who I am, and that's what I bring to the table, it's very difficult to move and be successful in business, in life, in relationships, in following purpose. So that's, to me, that's the number one thing I found, is just being authentic in who you are. Embrace it, own it, because it's you. You are the differentiator.
That's so true.
You are it. So
it's so true. Yeah. It's funny, because I love when people, you mentioned the really good thing about what you bring to the table. I still prefer the kids' table, to be honest, because they're more creative. You know, they're more open. They're not tainted. They haven't gone through all the crap that we've gone through, right? And there's just joy and bliss and good food. Still good food, right? I'll take the chicken wings. It's all good. or you could just start your own table. That's another option, right?
You know what? Someone just told me, and it changed my perspective. It shifted my perspective even more. I used to think that I was at certain tables, right? Because of course I'm supposed to be at the tables, mm-hmm. but they were like, Katina, you are a table. And people right. need to come and sit and sip and eat and yeah. fellowship at yes. your table. And yes. so it shifted my perspective even more of how to show up in the world.
I love that. You're a host. You are hostess, hostess, you know.
Absolutely. And
I'm sure there's some good food. I'm sure there's some good food at that table, but we'll talk about that on the next one.
There. Fried chicken wings will be there for sure.
Oh, yes. I work with a singer who she's from originally from Virginia, and every yeah. time she comes back, she brings me, her mom makes me a homemade almond pound cake every time. And but when I see the food that they have out there, I'm like, I got to come with you when we get travel, man. Like for sure.
Oh,
because I know because even oh. though I'm tall and slender, don't let that fool you. I like to eat.
You like to throw it out.
I'm just very blessed. Yeah, I don't gain weight. It's a beautiful thing since I'm a kid. Yeah, I love it. All right, cool. That's a little sidetrack, but it's always good to talk about food because everyone loves food.
Yes.
Let's talk about this because I know you are what I would consider, and it shows in how you answer questions. You are really an expert communicator. Mm. And I always say two things that make businesses and relationships fail are clear expectations and clear communication. So I want to ask you, what is the suggestion for people to communicate better? Because, you know, we're always trying to express our feelings and our thoughts. And especially if there's some emotion involved, it comes out sometimes convoluted. So how can I or anyone listening, because I'm all about learning. I don't know it all. You know, so how can we all better communicate with one another?
Well, definitely, for sure. I believe that the number one communication is your nonverbal, right? Mm-hmm. So your facial expressions, being present with people, looking them in the eye. You'd be surprised how many people have difficulties looking someone in the eye. It goes back to how we've been taught in a lot of ways that there was a lack of respect. And, you know, it shows that, you know, it shows a lack of self-confidence and all of that other stuff that we've been taught. But to be able to look someone in the eye and be fully present with them, it's an amazing communication tool. And so I just learned to nurture and build that muscle to be okay with being present with people, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. That is beautifully stated and clearly communicated, which is exactly what I expected.
Let me say, though, I had to learn, too, Rob, that even communicators, you always have to, you're constantly learning. So I'm a national speaker, right? And I was just in a session where I allowed myself to get on stage and be critiqued, give feedback. Because communication is about how the other person receives the information. You're not necessarily communicating if the other person doesn't get the message. You're just talking.
Yeah, that's right. You're right. It's just a monologue.
right.
So I love that you said that because I'm a speaker also, and I would always ask, how can I improve? And you know, you get the people that are like, oh my God, it was perfect. I will seek out the people that'll be like, you sucked. And why? Because even though in that, I know I didn't suck, but I want to know why they thought so. And if there is some constructive feedback, I want to be better and get better. Like I remember the first time I spoke, which you're probably aware is it's the number one fear that people have is public speaking. I didn't really have a fear of it because I've been a performer and been on stage since I'm 15 as a drummer. I've been on tour. So I kind of naturally gravitated towards, you know, speaking. But there's a lot you don't know when you get up there about, you know, timing and speed, because I'm a fast talker from New York. That doesn't work if you're talking in Texas or Alabama. So, you know, there are things that you just learn as you go, and it's all beneficial because it's part of your growth.
So let's
piggyback on, and I'm excited to hear this part. Let's, because you have, there are so many things you can bring to the table, or as a host and or as a guest, I should say. Since Dom, technically it's my table, but I'm excited about this next one because this is so important, and it relates to sales again in resolving conflict. I want you to speak on your insight into how you can resolve conflict without creating more conflict. Because, and you know what I'm talking about. Because sometimes people are trying to fix the problem, but they're not trying to fix the problem. They're creating more of a problem. So if you can, you can run with that. Now, I can't wait to hear what you say.
Oh, wow. Okay. You're stepping into that territory, Rob. Oh, yes. My gosh. Okay. So
I'm just keeping it real. You know, that's it.
Listen, conflict is inevitable when dealing with people, right? And I'm a firm believer that healthy conflict can be a gift, right? If you see it, your perspective about conflict, it really can be a gift because it highlights something that's disconnected, whether it be in my communication, whether it be in my expectation, whether it be in your expectation, it's highlighting that. And then the skill comes in, how do we have the crucial conversation? And I'm just a straight shooter. You what you see is what you get. I like dealing with root issues. I don't let things fester, but I've had to learn that just because I don't like things to fester and I'm ready to handle it, everyone else is not always at that space. So you have to give people time to be able to hear you in resolving the conflict. And so I think those are the greatest pieces that I bring to the table in regards to handling conflict. I see it as a gift. But I give you time to get to the space where we can have an honest conversation. And once we have it, I don't hold it.
That's important, because if you hold it in, you know, that's exactly what I'm. So would you recommend, if someone is in that, you know, still kind of hurt emotional state, do they just take time, or do they try and push forward through that? Because, you know, I often see a lot of people just like I've been in relationships where they just want, I'm like, listen, I just need a minute to process it, because I don't want to, you know, I just see if it even really matters, you know, because the little things don't bother me. But, you know, if something can become a consistent irritant and there is an impact, I want to process that first. That's how I am. I wasn't always allowed to do that, meaning people want to know, we need to discuss it right now, because, you know, and I don't know what's behind that, and I'm not going to go there. But from your perspective, is it better to just, you know, chill? Or should you address it? And because there's still a matter of respecting the other person wanting to resolve it. So speak on that.
Well, you have that power. And to be honest with you, you have that right to take the time you need to come to the table and have the conversation. And when you find individuals, because I'm like that, like I've pushed people into conversations, and I have to be honest, because I just don't like harboring emotions, and I want to fix it, because that's the solution part of me. The woman part of me is to fix it. But I had to learn, because it did not reap the benefits, the fruit, right, that I wanted it to produce, right. Because they were not ready to have the conversation. So even though I was emotional and I was sincere, they couldn't even receive it, because I didn't give them time to process their own emotion. And so for you and anyone else, I say, take the time you need. It gets on our nerves, but take the time you need.
But that's so big to admit that, okay, I do want to fix it, which is amazing. Because if you don't, there's a bigger problem. Right. But if you do want to fix, and I'm going to relate it to sales on the phone with the customer. If I have a challenge and I need to fix it, I need to fully hear them, getting back to the resolving conflict part, right? But I also need to make sure that if they're hyper-emotional and they're going to, like, you know, sometimes they want to yell, I need to respect that and try and probably diffuse it by saying, hey, you know, you're super emotional and I want to take care of this for you, but maybe we should talk in a half hour or another day. Or if you want to just continue forward, I'm here to serve you, whatever you want me to do. I mean, there's really interesting things to keep in perspective in, because, you know, sales and life correlate to one another. And I don't mean in that respect that came up on another podcast that we're always selling. Like, I'm trying to sell you and you're trying to sell the postman and you're trying to get your spouse to marry you. I'm like, they're not a commodity or a product or service. So I don't phrase it that way. I believe it's built on that trust, communication, respect, honesty. Real relationship stuff.
That's it.
Relates to sales, right? This included. So if anyone in the sales realm stayed on long enough to hear this portion, I think it's important to understand that, because conflict does come up in sales, and you know, if someone could have not got their order, you know, you didn't call them back. There's things, you know, and I think if you are open enough, you can resolve that conflict. So that's a
yeah. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. No, I was going to say,
if you build the relationship, the upfront relationship when you're selling, right, and creating the relationship, then people are more forgiving in the process when you are human, because the human side of you is going to show up. There's going to be some failure along the way, but because our relationship is strong, even in a client partner situation, because I've established that, then you are more forgiving and we're able to move on.
Perfectly stated.
Yeah.
So true. So true. Yeah. And that's that alone, we need, I'm going to take the mic and go boom. Like every time you drop those, it's on a stand though. I can't move it.
I can't with you, Rob. I can't.
I know. I love it. I knew it was going to be like this. I feel like I'm hanging out with a friend, just like talking, and someone's recording us, and I don't know.
Yes.
What I feel like.
I'm trying not to talk over you, right? But because we've just vibing like that, so I apologize right. for that.
No, it's been pretty good so far. I'm totally cool with it. All right, so let's talk about. You have a quote that I love that you know, if anyone doesn't know, I have a guest bio that, fill out that allows me to gain some insight to ask questions. And you put an amazing quote, and I want you to just speak on it. And I'm going to post it on the video. We are the solution to the systems we seek to change. And I want to repeat that, because if it's just a podcast you're listening to, we are the solutions to the systems we seek to change. That's so empowering, but you need to just give me the background on that.
Well, it really came from my master's degree pursuit. And I went to Marquette University in Milwaukee, shout out Marquette. But they had a strong social change emphasis. And it was in that process that I began to see that I'm not just called to be light, because the word of God talks about we are lights, right? We are salt of the earth. And it really reinforced that, in that I am called to shift, change, transform systems, institutional and cultural systems that we want to change. And I do that being me, right? Yeah. Showing up being me. And so I just believe that my call is to build a community of transformative leaders who transform systems. We're the solution. Leaders move communities forward. And so that's where it came from.
I love it. It made me think of, you don't hide your talent under a rock, which is one of the better analogies. And of course, let your light shine among men, man being mankind, human being, person, not in the male form. One of the other definitions that a lot of people, don't know and say, you can't say mankind, but, and I, for me, I always, when someone's struggling, I'll see a post on Facebook. I always said, I'm sending you love, light, and prayer and energy, because the light, and what did Martin Luther King say, right? Darkness can't drive out darkness, only light can. And the love and hate, it's longer, and I don't remember the whole thing.
But you're hitting it. Like, the things that we see, whether it be civil unrest, the pandemic, all of these different things require a solution. And the solution does not come necessarily from the resources we have. It comes from first showing up, being okay, and being committed to the process. And then it goes back to the mindfulness, authenticity, and courage to actually do something about it. Because people know things need to change, right? Yeah. But it takes courage to actually lead. And Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. has definitely been an inspiration for me. I never forget when I first started leading, I went to his historic site, and immediately when I walked in, I saw the sign Courage to Lead. And it shifted, like, wow. Think about the burden that he had to lead.
Unbelievable.
Right?
Yeah. And that goes back to me saying why it can be very daunting and create fear in walking in your talent and faith and your goal. And, but we have that ability. And it's funny, because you're Dr. Katina Fuller Scott and there's Coretta Scott King. I don't know if that's a coincidence.
Well, I'll claim it.
You're working it. Right? Three snaps in the head, Bob. It's there. I love it. So I'm actually excited about this question, because I know it's important to you, which means it's important for people to hear. So what was your defining moment and how did that impact you? And then I want to go a step further. How has that impacted others, if you can speak on that?
Oh, wow. Yeah, this is important. It goes back to the question you asked about what is that one thing that really limits people from moving forward? Mm-hmm. And I remember in my former job before stepping full time into entrepreneurship, I was at the table. I'd been invited from the president of the company to be at the table. I was the senior director, but I was not a vice president. So the table, the senior leadership team was comprised of vice presidents. So here I am sitting in this space, adding value. And I looked around and the question came to me, when are they going to figure out that I don't belong here? And wow. You're thinking, right? When are they going to figure out that I don't belong here? I'm pursuing my doctorate. I have the power. I've been positioned and prepared for this. But when are they going to figure out that I don't belong here? And I had an invitation to be there and still questioned it, right? Yeah. But it was in a conversation with my executive coach. And he said, Katina, you keep thinking that you are going into a room of giants when you are a giant walking in to meet other giants. Totally shifted. Because now I'm looking for tables. I'm looking for seats. I'm not questioning anymore. That's right. And this is what I empower and help other people and coach other people to do is, where do you see yourself? See yourself in seats that you never imagined. See yourself prepared, because you are already prepared for the opportunity. Right. And so that was a defining moment for me. That happened later in life, but it totally shifts how I show up in spaces now.
That's amazing, because, you know, it's very tough sometimes to think that you are an equal.
Yes.
And that can be very limiting. Yeah, that can be really limiting. You know, there was a study I read about where they took a group of people and they had two job positions. And one was at $60,000 a year, and I'm probably going to get the numbers wrong, and one was $100,000 a year. And even though everyone in the group, and let's say it was 30 people, were qualified for the $100,000 a year job, most of them decided, I'm going to apply for $60,000. And that's why, because, okay, I'm not good enough, or will I really get that job? And then what did Michelangelo said? The greater danger lies not in aiming high and falling short, but aiming low and hitting. And I know Les Brown has shared that. And that is powerful, right? Because would you rather say, okay, I want to make 50 grand a year, you hit that, it's okay. But if you said, I want to position myself to make 150, and you only hit 100 grand, you know, that doesn't suck, right?
But think about it. It goes back to, where do you see yourself? If you don't see yourself positioned and prepared, you won't even think to dream that big. It's not a part of your fabric. And so I just feel like that is the major thing that we deal with in a lot of ways. Imposter syndrome, it's out there and people are constantly fighting through it. But just understand that you are already prepared. You're prepared, positioned.
Yeah, it's funny, because I've been saying for a long time, image is everything, but self-image, that is.
Ooh, that part.
Yeah, and that's what holds us back. I know, I'm actually making it into a motivational poster, so I'm glad you just gave me confirmation.
You know what?
I have to ask you about this.
Come on, dropping the gems yourself.
You know, okay, but you know, I can't let you take all the credit. Come on. That's why we knew this is going to be a fun call.
That's right.
Right? That's right. So you actually said something interesting about, you know, how we see ourselves fitting in. Yes. And that's a perfect segue, because I want to talk to you about what FIT, F-I-T, is.
Yes.
So let everyone know what that is.
Being fearless, intentional, and transformative. So I love that.
Wait.
Yes. Yes.
Say that again. We need to go to church. You need to say that again and then say, hallelujah.
Okay, so we're going all the way to church. You got to be fearless. You got to be intentional, and you got to be transformative. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Make sure you're awake out there.
Right. Yes.
That is so powerful.
Yeah.
Wow. I didn't actually expect that answer. Meaning I knew it would be good, but that is so powerful.
Yeah, it's part of my Fit for Purpose coaching program. Like, I I believe that leaders, you have to be fit for purpose, right? And it really ties back to mindfulness, authenticity, and courage. But be fearless in what you do, be intentional, and then be transformative. We have to get to the point where we are making some sustainable change. And so that program is really about doing the work to get that happening.
If you make that into a shirt, so it says FIT, and then I want the first one.
You want the one? That okay, is, let me write that down. Let me take my orders.
That is so powerful. Yes. Like F, and now FIT is, I know, a Fashion Institute of Technology here in New York. So you can't get FIT.com, I'm sure. But I'm sure you can get something like that. But I would wear that like once a week just to be, just to promote that mentality.
Thank you so much for that. That's confirmation. That is seriously.
And so now, so I was right when I said you were a strong, beautiful, anointed woman as your intro, man. That right there. Because we're born to stand out, not fit in, but fit like that. We should fit out.
Yeah. Ooh, ooh. Yeah. Ooh. Okay. Okay, Rob.
I'm doing a little PR right now.
Don't play with it. Work with it.
Sales and marketing. I'm creating products and everything. We have to have a link to buy the shirt.
Right.
So. Firstly, I can't thank you enough for joining me, because this has been really, like, I am pumped, and I don't, when you have passion, you don't eat coffee. This is why, because there's just, you can feel your energy and the synergy that you and I knew we had when we met on that round table, which I was like, wow, we need to, like I said, you're a part of my tribe. It's official.
Absolutely.
I love it. I have only one question that I ask every guest.
Yeah.
And I'm very curious as to what your answer is, and I'm sure I'm going to love it. And I know it's going to be a knowledge bomb. What is your favorite quote or book, and why is that?
Ooh, you ask good questions. I love it.
Thank you. I'm glad to hear that.
I love it. My favorite poem, really, but the quote comes. There's so many quotes in the poem that I feed off of, but my favorite poem is From Return to Love, Our Deepest Fear by Marianne Williamson.
Yes,
the quote that really sticks out to me is that there is nothing enlightening about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. You were born to make manifest the glory of God that's within you. So, like, so many pieces from
it. I just got chills because, you know, I'm the quote. I published a quote book called Pick Me Up When You Feel Down with over, I don't even know, 3,000 quotes, four a day for a year.
Yeah.
And I didn't add that one, but I've read it, and it is, yes. And it's funny because we all feel like we do have to stay here. Mm-hmm. But I think when you soar, it inspires others to say, wow, I can do that because they did that. Yeah.
And you know what she said, though? The power in that is she said, when we do it, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same.
I might have subconsciously knew that, which is why I just said what I said. Because I'm a nerd. I love to read. And Marianne Williamson is phenomenal. She's so inspiring.
Yes. So that's my go-to.
Yeah, and I knew you'd have a great answer. Okay, so let's wrap up with, I know you have a 90-day coaching program. I want you to just do a Dr. Katina Fuller Scott plug let people know how they can get in touch with you and all that fun stuff.
Well, thank you. You can definitely reach out to me at BeWhatMattersLLC.com. And there you'll find my 90-day coaching program, Fit for Purpose. And it's really for executive leaders, those who are emerging and existing executive leaders, to unleash their leadership potential, work through some of the limiting beliefs about how they show up in the world. And that's a 90-day program. And then I have Soar to Success with Strategy Intensives. So if that is for people who, yes, I've been dropping them. I'm dropping them, Rob.
I love the alliteration too. It's beautiful.
But Soar to Success with Strategy is for individuals who may not want that long-term connection with me, but you still need access to expert opinion, advice, strategic insight, and those are hourly sessions. So I have those two products available and services available because I just believe that I can get you unstuck in a short-term way, or we can work it out long-term, and that's how I want to show up.
Perfect. I love it. All right. So thank you, everyone, for attending A Kick in the Aspirations and Motivation Session. And please, I urge you to support Dr. Fuller Scott and Be What Matters. We will see you the next time. And have an awesome day. And be rock stars.
Thank you.